A press release that happened upon my desk just a while ago informed me that according to the World Health Organization's 2012 statistics, 91% of maternal deaths are preventable and may be treated with essential obstetrical care. 91%. That's scandalous, to say the least. And reading on, the figures become more and more chilling. I discovered that due to lack of effective care during pregnancy and childbirth, 333,000 women die annually during pregnancy and childbirth. 99% of these deaths occur in developing countries, and in particular in sub-Saharan Africa. Well, the press release I am referring to was given me by Mater Care International, an organization of Catholic health professionals dedicated to the care of mothers and babies, both born and unborn, through new initiatives of service, training, research and advocacy. Services which are designed to reduce the tragically high rates of maternal mortality, morbidity and abortion. I spoke to MCI's founder and executive director, Dr. Robert Wally, who happened to be in the Vatican for a series of meetings, he told me, directed at pushing for a charter of maternal rights.
What we were doing, and I'll continue for the next couple of days, is to promote a charter of maternal rights and what we call also the 91% solution. I'm an obstetrician, worked for a long time in West and East Africa, dealing with the awful problem of maternal mortality, mothers who die during pregnancy and who suffer birth injuries, all of which are preventable. And it occurred to me a couple of, end of last year, I think, to wonder about a charter of rights of mothers. So there's lots of charter of rights of women, but not of mothers. And I keep on saying, you know, mothers are women too, you know. Surprise, surprise. So I Googled it, and yeah, there was one. 1930. You know, very current, isn't it? So I thought, well, maybe there's a time for another one. For that simple reason that they only deal with women. They've neglected, and the world has neglected motherhood. They're put into a sort of a compartment over there of almost failures. But, you know, I think if we look at motherhood from the church's point of view, you know, the most intimate relationship that any human being has had with God is to carry God-made man in her womb, Mary. So maybe you could actually extend that a little bit. The most intimate relationship that any human being has now is motherhood, because she carries the next generation within her, nourishing and nurturing them. So it's awfully important, really. And perhaps, at least, I personally don't think we're doing enough about it. Now, I'm an obstetrician, and I think there should be a heck of a lot more done about it.
Well, I was reading some of the statistics, and they're frightening. The OMS says that it was one in every 31 pregnancies results in death. This is in the year 2012. Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely. And in some areas, it's even worse than that. So it may go down to one in 15 or down to one in 7.
Obviously, in poor and developing countries, I would think.
Well, mothers are the poorest of the poor in every way. And, you know, they're often young. They don't have a voice because they're women. They're mothers and women. So they don't have a voice. And therefore, they don't complain or lobby or shout, where's my doctor, where's my midwife, where's the place I'm going to? They just do what comes naturally, so to speak, and deliver in their hut in the village. And they're optimistic, you know. When you're pregnant like that as a mother, you're optimistic. It's a happy event. So they're not expecting to die or to be injured. Obviously, when they do die, they don't have a voice except yours and mine. And therefore, we need as a church to be addressing this whole subject in a far, far more vigorous way, I think that's the right term, than we are doing. We've got sort of caught up in modern times. Now, look, the church was was the provider of healthcare for mothers. If you look at the obstetrical units in North America and Europe, even in Africa and so on, those sisters were there right from the beginning, and to a certain extent they still are, but less and less. And the bishops have to take up the slack in terms of keeping the hospitals going, and 40% of all the hospital beds outside of cities are run by bishops in the church. So, you know, it really is extremely difficult, and we can't just keep talking about argument or bemoaning the fact and throwing our hands up and saying it's awful, it's awful. Yes, it is, but let's do something about it. And sometimes we're all guilty, I think the world community is. It's not politically important, is maternal mortality, mothers dying, because in the Western world they don't die, because we're all so well trained, we've got all the gear and the facilities. But unlike AIDS, so if you're a politician, you've got to really be involved, otherwise you're dead politically, because people die in the Western countries. But they also die in Africa. But as no mothers die in the Western world, they don't get interested in it. That's Africa, that's their problem, you know?
I see here you have on your press release quite a strong phrase. It says the 91% solution.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, look, everything is full of slogans these days. You know, the international community is promoting what they call abortion first or the Safe Motherhood Initiative or reproductive health. But when you look at what kills mothers through neglect, they die hemorrhage, obstructed labour, they die of infection. All of these things can be prevented and treated. And they all occur during the last 3 months of pregnancy, during labour and delivery, and a week after. So that means what they really need is, like everybody gets in home, is essential obstetrics. Because if you look at the statistics, all of what I've just said adds up to 91% of all maternal deaths could be treated. And we know that because they don't occur here.
And I think some of them very simply as well, couldn't they?
Reasonably simply, yeah. I mean, sure.
We're talking a lot about
high technology. No, cesarean section and trained midwives around to deliver them. And so what we're doing is challenging the world and saying, hey, the solution to all of this is the 91% solution. That's the catchphrase. And that's what we're looking for help in developing the whole concept and to do demonstration projects to show that we do care and that we can do just as good medically and obstetrically and technically as anybody else. And that's what mothers want, like they do here.
Now, Professor Waller, you are the founder of Mater Care International.
Yeah.
And you do give voice to the voiceless, as you were saying, but you also give life to some very concrete projects around the world. You were telling me you're coming from Kenya at this moment, where you've been working for many years, I understand. Would you like to tell us about the projects on the ground?
What we are developing in Kenya is partly the end of a story, maybe it's the end of the beginning, to deliver essential obstetrics to a large rural area. And the idea started developing in Nigeria back in the sort of mid, late 80s, 90s. But it was very difficult at that time to do. It was fraught with, you know, other complications. Strangely enough, the things that cause mothers problems because they can't get to hospitals and things. But we then developed it in Ghana and then now since 2005 in Kenya, in which you don't focus on building just a hospital. You focus on where the deaths take place, and they're in the villages. So you go there. You try and take as much of the hospital to where the mother is, and you do that with transportation.
Right, because you wouldn't think that women would want to walk hundreds of kilometres to a hospital. Is that why you're going to the village?
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine if you are in some complication, you're bleeding after the delivery, or you've got a baby that's coming the wrong way, or you've got some other problem. There's no taxis to jump into. There's no bus. There's no ambulance. If you're lucky, you get on the back of a bike or a motorbike. And you have some awful situations where a mother comes with a half-delivered baby, which is coming sideways instead of, you know, head first or feet first, which you can deal with. And the suffering there is immense.
You were telling me about these projects. You're taking the hospital to the villages to where the most deaths do occur. And you spoke to me of Kenya, of Nigeria. Do you have a project in Ghana?
Yep. We don't stay forever and ever, amen. You know, we go there and we suggest this, work in partnership, because it's we may be from different cultures and backgrounds and so on, but we share one thing, and that's the faith. So we go there and work with what structures there are. And there are mission hospitals, but they need to have a look at how do they radiate out to the community first. And then, you know, we start off with the community. We try to get community interested, the mothers interested, the women interested in the project because it's theirs. Then you train the traditional birth attendants, ladies who are well respected in their communities. They're uneducated. They're not inexperienced. They're not unintelligent. They know exactly what the bad things are, but they don't know what to do about it. So we work with them. And then the other idea is to create parish maternity clinics, mm-hmm. where you know, need to go to a hospital and have a specialist or a doctor look mm-hmm. after you. Midwives are just as competent. So normal deliveries would stay in the parish, and the complications then would, well, the identified, you can identify 85% beforehand, come to the hospital. And it's a strange phenomenon that you may have a life-threatening complication potentially when you go into labour, but up until that point, you feel fine. And so therefore, you can have stay in what we call a maternity waiting home in the hospital, separate from the hospital, close by, you look after yourself and so on. And that saves money in that you're not being looked after in the hospital bed, nurses and so mm-hmm. on. You're being looked after by your own. And you live according to the way you're used to, not into this sort of artificial environment of a hospital and the way it functions, you know.
You were speaking of the human right of being a mother,
yeah.
but that automatically brings us to the human right of being a newborn baby as well, doesn't it? Because you're not only saving the mother, you're saving a child. Maybe you're saving his life, yep. you're definitely saving his mother.
And that's the whole point. The whole of this charter begins with the dignity of human life. And the baby is seen as gift, not as thing, not as a right. It's a gift, and therefore it's treated with great value and so on. And the mother is so absolutely necessary because she nourishes and nurtures that baby. And then you have to look at her respect for herself, her religion, her cultural background, her economic situation, and all those things, which it's all about respect, isn't it? And her dignity, so respect for her dignity.
How have you been welcomed within these communities in which you've been working?
Yeah. By the community, I think, well, they're a bit unsure. They don't fully understand what we're about. They see hospitals and they all want to rush to the hospital. Sometimes they think it's the treatment there is going to come free, but obviously that's not possible. But you know, they'd have to pay something. But nobody who came who was destitute would be turned away. So the whole project, the whole hospital, is for the poor, and many people live as a nomadic existence, as pastoralists. They don't have money, but they have a great number of goats and cattle and stuff. So,
hopefully they have a great number of goats.
Well, yeah, you're right in asking that because in this area we're working, there's been a drought there for up to 6 years in places. And you can see it because not only did they lose the domesticated animals, but even in the national park, the animals, the big ones, have been dying. And it's really tough there, and of course that leads to malnutrition, which complicates pregnancy, and the growth of the baby while inside the uterus and so on.
I think we should just sit back in this very advanced, technologically advanced world we live in, and just reflect on the fact that so many women in developing countries risk their lives for the most natural and the most important thing of life. Just let's remember the numbers.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at it, it's violence, really. You know, people forget that, you know, they understand doing violence against somebody when you sexually assault them or you shoot them or whatever. And that's commission. That's what you do. But also you can do violence. We say that every morning.
Neglect.
What I fail to do by
Absolutely.
Omission. And that's the tragic thing. We don't realise, and it's huge, the amount of omission, when we know. We've known 150 years what we have to do. But it's a question of motherhood in the Western world being of such low value in this day and age. And what we would like to do is, we organise a meeting of our colleagues, our own obstetricians, every 2 years. We've had six here in Rome last September. And next year we were thinking about not having just a medical conference, but a celebration of motherhood.
Well, I think Italy is a good place to have that. Italians
love
mothers.
They love babies.
They love babies,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's an important event because I was told that it's the 25th anniversary of Mulieris Dignitatem.
Right.
And my point, mothers are women too.
That was founder and executive director of Mater Care International, Dr. Robert Wally.